Go to Genesis. Go to Genesis. You know, when we teach on subjects like this, there's a part of me that doesn't want to record the lesson. I don't want it on the internet because what the world teaches about the home is so different. And as a child of God, I'm looking for things to be, I want things according to the Bible so God can bless me and help me. If the model for our homes is not supposed to be Hollywood, it's not supposed to be the adulterers that are out there. If I want God's blessing, I want this. This is my reference book, and it's going to be so different from what's taught. I'm going to get into some really different ways of thinking, and I think it's Bible, but it's because our society is so whacked. And as I get to them tonight, in other words, it's not shock and awe tonight. I realize that. But I'm going to hit some subjects tonight that it goes totally against society. But as far as Christians and as children of God, I think it's important that we know. And as far as the home, let's pray together and let's ask the Lord to help us. Father, thank you again for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to gather as your children. I pray that, Lord, please, this would be a helpful time for each person. Lord, whether single or married, dear God, please, help us to be able to help others when they have questions. Lord, the new Christian that comes to our church and, Lord, all they've been taught is what is the junk from Hollywood and the media. Lord, they need your word and they need, Lord, someone to help them and take them under their wing and Lord, teach them what your word says so they can do right and do what, Lord, you intended for us to do. Please help us as a church family. Bless this time, please. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. Last week we went into that, and I do think it's God created the woman for the man. See, that goes totally against feminism. That goes totally against, if you just one verse, well, God didn't tell it to the woman because the woman wasn't there. But why did God make the woman? Because it's not good that man should be alone. That thought. Then God says, I will make an helpmeet for him. And that word helpmeet is at the end of verse 20. Also, it's used two times in your Bible, helpmeet. It's important that you understand what that word means. Every girl ought to know what that means. A help, someone to assist, to lift, and meet, M-E-E-T. What does that mean? Fitting. God said, I'm going to make someone to help him that fits him. And that's why the word help meet means a completer. It's the when you do get married. See, if you have this mentality, when we get married, everything's going to be wonderful. I will adjust that for you. But marriage creates problems. It never solves a problem. But there's this Hollywood thinking. If we can just get married, everything's not going to be all right. Problems multiply. Okay? There's nothing fantasy land. Well, that is all fantasy land. Okay? Marriage creates problems. It does not solve problems. And that's in your Bible, and I'll show that to you. But to think everything's going to be fine if we just... That's why there's some girls, all they can do is their hair for hours. And I always refer to that. And you can kind of tell because... They can't cook. They can't. And watch this. If I make statements like this, in your teen years, you ought to be learning how to be a helper around the house. For instance, since I was six, maybe five, I don't think five, maybe six, because we'd moved into the trailer by then. My sister and I, it was just my sister and I, we rotated doing dishes. And you know what my grandmother told me? You need to learn to do dishes till you like it. Every kid hates dishes. You need to learn to clean your room until you like it. I don't care whether you like doing it or not. You need to learn to go against what you feel. It's amazing how much the emotions of the children run the home nowadays. But nobody's preparing them for life. You don't understand. When you get older, you go to work whether you feel like it or not. You go to church whether you feel like it or not. Amen? You do right because it's right to do. You don't do right because it feels good. So if you're raising a child, they're supposed to be, we're preparing you for adulthood. We're not going to keep you here. You say, why would you say that? I think a teenage girl should have the dream of, wow, God made me for somebody to complete. So I want to prepare for that someday. I'm not that. If you can do your hair, great. I'm glad you do. Okay. And it beats not doing your hair. But there's more to life than doing your hair. Now you put the smartphone in it, and there's some people, all they can do is check Facebook. I call those worthless human beings. They're literally good for nothing. The only thing they're interested in is themselves. You understand? They can't serve others. They only get involved when they're made to. And all that is stuff that you worked through as a child. We're preparing you one day to get married and to function. Not, we really do hope you move out. Okay, might be a little sooner, might be a little later, but we know you're not going to live here for the rest of your life. So let us prepare. I will make a helpmeet, a completer. If every girl said this, with this in mind, okay, helpmeet. God said, when I make you for somebody, I'm creating the woman to fill in the gaps of the man and his shortcomings. So you need to, I don't know who came up with it. Oh, yeah, I do. Bill Gaither came up with don't judge me in the 1970s. Don't judge me. You better learn how to judge. You better learn how to tell a knucklehead from a good person. You better learn how to, before you get married, dating. Let me describe to you. I will make a helpmeet for him. If you were, dating is where that person is on trial, right? It's not somebody's interested in me. Yeah, I like what one teenage girl said. One guy went to buy her a piece of jewelry. Hey, got you this bracelet? She said, I don't take any jewelry from anybody until I'm engaged. I don't want to get obligated to them. A gift blindeth the eyes of the wise, the Bible says. Smart girl. I was like, you can buy me a burger, you can buy me a French fry, but no jewelry. Nothing that sparkles. Wisdom there. That's Bible wisdom. Amen. When you're dating somebody, they're on trial and you're supposed to be evaluating them. A girl has to be able to look at a guy and say, okay, he can't do this, but he can do this. And he's pretty good at this. And wow, in this area, nothing there. Okay. And then you have to ask yourself the question while you're dating. Can I fill that in? Because isn't that why God makes a woman when he gives you to someone to marry, right? And see, people don't think that way. They just, I don't know if they can't get past the hair color, eye color, you know, height and, you know, all that stuff. You have to be able to think that way. God made you to complete somebody for their work for God. And when they marry you, will they be able to do more for God than they could have without you? That's the way, that's what I was taught. That's how I evaluated my wife. I thought, wow, God, is that the one you have for me? And prayed, and Lord, I could do more for you with her than I could without her. And God made me a helpmeet. I don't think that's a weird way of thinking. Of course, you know, praise God, everybody's not like me. Okay. I think that's a holy way to think. You're supposed to be able to look at that. Gentlemen, if, you know, I know we're dealing with single people right now, but you have to be able to evaluate a girl that way. Can she do more than her nails and her hair? Does she care about anybody other than herself? In this society that the media is teaching people all with to be just self-centered, focused on them, nobody else, where it raises a bunch of narcissists, people that literally their life centers around everything, who likes me, who dislikes me, who unfriended me, who approves, whose opinion, hit that subscribe button, you know, I mean, all that junk. And it raises nothing I think there's a little bit of good from it. I think there's a lot of bad that comes from it. I just said that to say, if I take that verse, God says, I will make a helpmeet. I think every Christian should know how to define that and how to go through that. Now, in God's pattern in this chapter, God made Eve for Adam. That tells me, here we go, here's another strong statement. And see, unless you're saved, this doesn't fly. The husband's supposed to lead the home. God didn't make the woman to lead the home. If you here's what every girl needs to be taught. You ready? If you nag your husband too much, he lets go of the reins and says, fine, here, you do it. And you don't want that. You don't want the husband to get so tired of your nagging, he just goes, okay, fine, here, you do it. Because girls, something you need to be taught is your mind works faster than a man's. That's why you don't see very many guy secretaries. You know what I mean? Every once in a while you will, but normally it's a pinch type thing and they really want out of it. Girls make good secretaries because their mind works so fast. Physiologically, God made you, your left and right lobe of your brain has a cord that goes down right down the middle of it. A guy doesn't have that. And it allows both hemispheres of the brain to work at once. A girl can do that. A guy is one-track minded. You understand? When my daughter would go to talk to me sometimes, she would go, Daddy, and she would lift up and then she'd go just like this. Okay? Have I got your attention? Okay? Guys are one-track minded and they are very easily derailed. You say, why is that important? A girl has to understand if you want to, you could find more faults with your husband than he even knows he has. He's like, well, I didn't think I did that very well, but I didn't know. Trust me. A woman's mind, and you say, do you know what you're saying? A woman's mind works faster than a man's. God made the man to work on one thing and focus his attention on it. And then that's how come being a homemaker is such a high office. What can a lady do? Man, she can talk on the phone. She can stir the beans on the stove. She can change the diaper on the baby and, I mean, do all of that and not miss a beat. Don't ask me to do that. I can do one of those three things, but don't ask me to do three at once. I got a one-track mind. It's important that you understand there's a difference between a man and a woman. They're not the same. They don't do anything the same. They're totally different. So the husband, I learned from reading the Bible, is supposed to lead the home. Take your Bible and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. If all I did was I came to the Bible and I just said, I want a home the way God intended. I want to do things God's way. I don't want to do things Hollywood's way. I definitely don't want to do it the world's way. There's some thinking and some truths. I think this is one of the passages. Watch this. Ready? Verse 1. Here we go. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know, I think verse 3 ought to be marked. Watch this. That the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. You know how important that verse is? That says the if there was an authority, I guess you could say ladder, it goes just like this. God, Christ. You say, I thought Jesus was Christ. I know, but God's talking about when Jesus was here on their earth, he said, I do always those things that please my Father. So he's talking about the submission of the Son to the Father. He's not talking about, was Jesus God? We already know Jesus is God, okay? But it goes God, Christ, man, woman. And the woman is the head of the man. Now, we know that that's not talking about intelligence, right? Because I just told you a woman's brain is faster than a man's. That doesn't mean she's smarter. It just means she can do more sometimes at once. That's why the woman is supposed to submit to the man and let the man lead her. And make, what's the head do? The head makes decisions. That's why it's very safe for a wife to learn to say, I don't know, let me ask my husband. That's safe. You hear the older Christian ladies say that because it protects them. And watch this. We've been in, you know, a couple of churches ago. Somebody asked my wife to do something that she wasn't super excited about doing. And she said, I don't know, let me ask my husband. She came home and asked me. And I said, sweetie, is that something you want to do? She goes, no. I said, then tell him I said no. I'm the bad guy. Well, my husband said no. And the husband's supposed to protect the wife, right? If she'll let him, some wives won't let their husband. To say, I'll check with my husband is the last thing on their mind. The woman submits to it. Now, here we go. Ready? This goes somewhere. The wife submits to the husband. Now, here it gets preachy. But she doesn't submit to him any more than he submits to Christ. How can I expect my wife to do what I tell her to do? And, you know, our house isn't caveman, you know, me Tarzan, you Jane, you know who Tarzan is? Okay, it's probably best you don't. Our house is not me Tarzan, you Cheetah, okay? But how can I expect my wife to do what I tell her when she watches me not do what God tells me? Let's take this one verse. Ready? Look at verse 3, because it ought to be marked in your Bible. It's I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Now, this is strong preaching. I have no right to expect my wife to do something when I'm fighting God. You say, you fight God? I've been a rebel before. You know what gives a wife great security? When she watches her husband read the Bible and pray and go soul winning and go to church, because she knows he's not fighting God. Because watch this, any man that'll fight God, any man that'll do that will leave his wife. If you fight God, you'll fight anybody. Right? And that scares the woman, the wife, the most. Do you know what it does to her when he's saying, honey, the Lord wants us too, right? God is leading me too. She's interested in God leading him. And watch this. When she knows God's leading him, she submits. She knows God isn't going to lead him to hurt her. Right? God will lead him to protect her and help her. So if I took verse 3 as far as dealing with the home and the husband and wife and what is life supposed to be like, before you get married, a man has to be able to lead himself or he can't lead other people. How can you lead a wife when you can't get up on time? You can't Let's go to school. Turn in your assignments on time. When you can't do what's required of you, how can you lead a wife? If you want to lead a wife, you have to lead yourself first. And when she sees you submit to God, then she, whew, that's great. I can follow him. Because what does verse 1 say? Be ye followers of me, even as I what? Also am of Christ. Isn't that taught? Now watch that. That's verse 3, trying to give you a safe way to think here. Watch this, verse 4. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. So God says, if a man doesn't take his hat off, that's how come we try to teach, you know, in the Marine Corps, you know, when going to the chow hall or going to the barracks or whatever, you always had your hat on until you came right to the threshold and then the hat came off. When you came inside, you never wear a hat indoors. Okay, well, let's just take it to church. You don't wear, a man should never wear a hat inside church. Okay, if you want to wear a hat inside your home, that's your call. Okay, I don't think that's sinful or anything. But let's just take the idea of church. How come God says a man isn't supposed to pray with his head covered? Because God is, by him, okay, taking his hat off, okay, he's saying God is his head, right? I don't want anything between me and the Lord, right? Now, look at the next verse, okay? It says here, every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head, for that is even all one as if she were shaven. You know, that's why ladies can wear hats in church, you know, and in the old days in the 1800s, they used to have the poof hats, you know what I mean? Like, they'd wear a hat and, like, you literally couldn't see until you sat kitty corner behind somebody. How is that? These are the verses they used to say. Because when a woman wears a hat, she's saying, I am in submission to my husband, and then I'm in submission to God. The husband removes his hat, the man does, in church, because he's saying there's nothing between me and God. The woman wears a hat, or covering, because she is saying by her actions, I answer to my husband who answers to God. I have a covering over me. And if she does not do that, that's why it says it dishonors her. Okay? So, it's not to say you got, every time you come to church, ladies, I don't think you have to have a hat on your head. Okay, so don't take this that far. I'm telling you why they used to do it. I do not think that we need to change anything in church. I do think, I like the old time teaching, when a man comes into the church house, you take your hat off. It's just respectful. Okay, but does a woman have? No, I don't think a lady has to wear a hat when she comes to church. Watch this. Look at verse 6. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. That means shaved. Okay, watch. But if it be a shame, and it is, for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. In other words, the covering of a woman is her hair. That's why we say that's a lesbian or dyke haircut when it's real short. Those type of haircuts on women give me the heebie-jeebies. Okay? Now, if they got cancer, don't go there. Okay? I'm talking normal people. Okay? I'm talking people with non-medical issues. But can you imagine a woman with a shaved head? It says, the Bible says it's shameful. It's shameful. In Bible terms, unless she's got a medical condition, we're not talking about that. It's rebellious. It's saying, I don't submit to men. And what does a homosexual say? Right? So they cut their hair real short. And it becomes shameful and disgraceful. Here, let's keep on reading. Ready? Here we go. This section of the Bible that very few teach on nowadays. Isn't this exciting? Okay. Here we go. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head. Why? For as much as he is the image and glory of God. But the woman is the glory of the man. Wow. What a verse. A husband's wife is either a shame to him or she honors him. But the woman is the glory of the man. Okay, here we go. Verse 8, this is not socially acceptable either, but you ought to know it. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. Wow, there it is again. That's why it's a holy thought for a girl to say, I'm not married yet, but I belong to somebody because God made me for someone. Isn't that a holy thought? Because isn't that what the Bible says? That's how come, okay, let's go to dating real quick. That's how come you don't touch a girl until you're married. It's good for a man not to touch a woman. Why? Because if you end up not marrying her, she's somebody else's wife, right? That's a good thought. Amen. She belongs to some God made. If God didn't, we're dating to figure out, you know, if we're, you know, if this is God's will or not, that's fine. But you don't, there shouldn't be any necking and petting and all of that stuff. Okay, any more than you, then it'd be right to kiss another man's wife. And that's the way you ought to view someone. verses. It's not what can we get away with. They belong to somebody. And young man, you belong to God. You belong to the Lord. You treat each other as holy vessels. You're not pieces of meat. Amen? Okay? So, watch this. So the woman was created for the man. Watch, verse 10. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. The word power means authority. A woman should have an authority over her head. That's why the daughters have to answer to the dads. You say, why? Because of the angels. A woman is more, you know what you learn when you read the Bible? Eve was tricked. Adam sinned. And the Bible says that, right? So a woman, you learn from Genesis chapter 3, all the way through, a woman is more easily deceived than a man. See, that doesn't, they make decisions differently, okay? Adam didn't do his job, and we'll get into that. He should have kicked, say he didn't do his job. But a woman is more easily deceived. That's how come salesmen love, would rather talk to the wife than they would the husband, because they can get a bigger sale. You say, oh, that's insulting. It's not that women are stupid. They just have a different decision-making process. And what does God say protects a woman? A power or an authority. That's why until a girl gets married, she ought to have her dad to help her with decisions so that she's not deceived and tricked. And one day she'll transfer that authority if she gets married to her husband, and then her husband becomes her authority, and he protects her from the deception. But see, you see how none of this would fly in the world? They're like, no, women are, they're equal, and they're not equal. And the Bible verse there says a woman has to have protection because the demons or the devils in the spirit world can have a heyday. They've been doing with women since Genesis 3. So to stay out of that deception, they need an authority to answer to. Let me ask my dad. Here's one. Let me ask my pastor. Let me ask my husband. Okay, we've had some ladies in the church, girls, they came from single homes and they didn't have a dad. So I said, girls, I highly suggest you get an authority until you get married. So I've had two girls that have said, can I run decisions past you? Can you be the authority telling me yes or no? I said, sure. You say, where'd you get that from? That Bible verse right there. It's very important. Look, I'm going through this because I think there's parts of the Bible you should be able to explain. How are we going to teach our kids? Every teenager needs to be taught this. Every young person, every single person needs to be taught this. And so let's just do a few more here and then we'll move on to the next. Ready? Watch. It says verse 11, nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman. But all things of God. Whoever came up with that stupid teaching, some women will argue, well, if it wasn't for me, you'd never been born. You can't say that because the Bible says it was Adam first and then Eve. You understand? God took the rib out of Adam to make him incomplete to show that the woman could complete him. Okay? But to say, well, if it wasn't for me, you'd never been born. That's a feminist, stupid state. Don't ever get caught up in that junk, okay? That's worldly. Watch this. Look at verse number 13. Verse 12, all things of God. Verse 13, judge in yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not, verse 14, this is another verse, and then we'll move on. Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? The word shame doesn't mean disappointment. It means disgrace. If a man, God says, nature teaches you. It's natural. You don't need a 15-point Bible study on this. When a man has long hair, it's disgraceful. You know what a man with long hair, in the context of the verse it's saying? It's saying, he's saying, God is not my head. I don't submit to God. I want something that covers my head, and I do things my way. You understand? That's why a man, now they may not, but every, from Absalom, right? David's son, all the men in the Bible that had long hair, they were rebels. Except Samson and John the Baptist, right? Okay, they were Nazarites. I'm talking people who chose, men who chose to grow their hair long. God teaches you in the Bible, that's a sign of rebellion. Rebellion against what? I'm rebelling against God. And that's why it's dangerous. That's why we call it effeminate when a man has long hair. Now watch this. Doth not even nature teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? And then watch this. But if a woman have long hair, watch. Girls, you ought to mark this verse in your Bible. It is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. So what's long hair on a woman? It's her glory. It's her glory. That's why I don't think a woman has to have hair down to her ankles, okay? But it ought to be longer than a man's. And what's the purpose of a woman's covering of her hair? The purpose is to cover the shape of her head and her ears. Okay, so I would think maybe the shortest that hair needs to be on a woman is probably neck. Okay, now if they want it lower than that, down to their back, that's up to them. But it says the a woman's hair is her glory. I like what one person said, wives, you need to let that thing grow. Don't cut it too short. He said, your husband's going to run your fingers through your hair, his fingers through your hair, and he's going to go, he likes to go, oh, my darling, oh, my darling. Oh, my darling. If you cut it too short, he just goes, oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my. Okay. Now, wait a second. Okay, that's old-timey, what I just told you. And it is not socially acceptable, what I just told you. And everybody steers clear of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, because it talks about who's the head and who's the authority and long hair on women and short hair on men. But Christian, you ought to understand that. You ought to be able to go to the Bible and say, you know what? God's the one that designed. If I don't do things God's way, I'm going to mess up. There's no way my kids can make it if I don't do my home God's way. But if I get this little rebellious or stinking, I want to be like Hollywood or I want to be like this, I can destroy my kids. I can destroy my marriage. If I don't do it God's way, I have to have the pattern. So I hope this is a help to you. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. That's there. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 3. Isaiah chapter 3. In your Old Testament there, just want to show you this. So the woman is made for the man. Isaiah chapter 3. The offices of a church are supposed to be held by a man. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. Pastor and deacons. There's no such thing in the Bible as a woman that's ever been called to preach. There is in Pentecostal churches, but there's no such thing in the Bible. There's no such thing in the Bible as a woman preacher. Deborah didn't preach. She judged Israel because Barak was a chicken leg. Okay? He was a dorkhead. And it says plainly, it displeased the Lord what Barak did. But people use, but Deborah didn't preach. She sat under a tree and judged situations because Barak wasn't man enough to do so. Think about this. God's trying to get across when you read 1 Timothy 3. We'll look at Isaiah 3 here in just a second. The best church is a man-run church. Let's take this a little bit further. The best society is a man-run society that's run by men. I think since Eleanor Roosevelt, you need to understand the history of feminism. Since Eleanor Roosevelt, that woman was a witch. Wicked woman. But she did this thing, you know, women have to have the right to vote and women have rights and all this. And she's the one that totally turned society on its head concerning women doing what God created them to do. As if they're equal with men and we're equal, we can do everything the same, and they can't. Men can do things women can do things men can do. They're never supposed to be meshed, okay? It's very dangerous to do this, to expect of a woman what a man is supposed to be doing. Why would I tell you that? The best societies are run, there's never been a successful society run by women. Well, Wonder Woman, Wonder Woman's a myth. Well, there's Amazons. Amazons don't exist. Does everybody understand that all comes from Greek mythology? It's made up. It's somebody had pizza before they went to bed and they had a bad dream. Do you understand? Atlantis, Wonder Woman, Amazons, all of that is Greek mythology. It's garbage. A woman cannot run a society. A society cannot answer to a woman in charge. Isn't that strong? Where in the history of mankind has that ever happened? I could take you to Athalia, who killed the seed royal in the Bible. I can take you to wicked. Every time a society answers to a woman, it goes downhill. It hurts. It's not good. I can use the Bible for that, right? But to this teaching of, well, we got to have women governors, and we got to have women mayors, and we got to have, let me show you what the Bible says. Ready? Here we go. Look at Isaiah chapter 3 and look, I love my church. I love us. I'd get assassinated if I said this on national TV. You understand? Because this gets strong. Watch this. Isaiah chapter 3. It says here, verse 4, and I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them, and the people shall be oppressed, everyone by another, and everyone by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable. So this is a sign of judgment. Look down at verse 12. Look at verse 11. Woe unto the wicked! It shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands shall be given him. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to error and destroy the way of thy paths. So who's leading them? Women. I don't think a woman's ever supposed to run for political office, and that's not because I'm a male chauvinist pig. But when women get to be put in positions of authority, that is a sign that that nation is being judged by God. When children rule them, when children are their oppressors, have you ever seen a day and age where children's rights? Look, nobody's for child abuse. Nobody's for child abuse. But have you ever seen a day and age at where a child could make one phone call, anonymous phone call, turn in the parents, and the parents, then they're taken from that home on that child's, no investigation. None. Everything centers around the child. That's a sign, God says in Isaiah 3, that nation is under the judgment of God. And when women can hold political positions, I believe, because of Isaiah 3, that nation is under the judgment of God. I don't think women should be judges in courts. Judge Judy and all that stuff. I don't think God intended for a woman to do that. I don't think God, every once in a while you'll have a lady leader and something like that. I'm sure that there's, women with, good gifts and things. I'm just saying, I don't think any woman should ever hold a political position. Boy, would this I'm telling you, if I put this on national TV, I'd get assassinated. they'd blow up my house. But shouldn't you as a Christian know that in this day and age? There's one governor, I think it's North Dakota's governor. Is it South Dakota that wouldn't lock down anything? She's the only woman that I'm glad's the governor of South Dakota. Have you noticed how all of the other women governors are? Michigan, Washington, or have you noticed? They're not even saying anything's wrong with the violence that's going on. What's President Trump doing sending in these federal, they're invading us and these are Nazis. Are you communist? How could you not be for something that would restore order in your town if that's you? Now, I think partly it's because they're Democrat and that's the way they're trained and they're Dane Bramaged. Okay. They can't help it. All right. Well, yes, they can. They're just wicked people. But Isaiah chapter 3 needs to come into play, and there needs to be verses there that everybody understands. So the woman is the head of the man is the head of the home, and that's what I learn when I read the Bible. Here we go. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. See, I hesitate. I'm wondering if this lesson should even be on the internet. You know what I mean? I'm thinking we might need to go in a vault somewhere or maybe a fish tank, you know, where they got to go swimming to get it. But this is so opposite of what our society teaches. But if you read your Bible on your own basis, shouldn't you be coming across stuff that goes totally against society anyways? Right? If you're trying to do things according to the Bible, you're going to feel out of place. Because they don't teach this. This is only taught if you don't go to church. Okay, let's say this. If you don't go to a Bible-believing church, you don't ever hear this. Look at Genesis chapter 3. Watch this. Now the serpent, verse 1, was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. So he's arguing with her. Verse 5, for God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat. And then this little phrase, watch this, and gave also unto, four words, her husband with her, and he did eat. So Adam was there the whole time Eve was talking to the devil. Guess what Adam failed to do? He failed to lead us home. Well, it was Eve that took the first bite. Adam was standing there the whole time. He didn't even correct his wife when she misquoted what God had said. God didn't tell him not to touch it. He said, don't eat it. She added to the Bible, and he still didn't help. Guess what happens when a man doesn't lead his home? It costs them horribly. Eve is doing what she should not have had Adam stepped in and done what he should have done. And it destroyed them. And we've been paying for it for the past 6,000 years. When you start noticing the curses, and we're going to look at the curses next week, if you could understand how a man is cursed and how a woman is cursed, it will let you know the problems that everybody has. It'll let you know about the problems that every marriage has, some to some degree, some to a lesser degree, but if you could understand the curses. Adam didn't lead his home like he was supposed to, and it cost them their home. Guess what happens when a man doesn't lead like God told him to? There's decisions that the husband's supposed to make. The wife isn't supposed to make them. Now, it would help if Eve would have said, honey, the serpent's talking to me. What are you? She didn't do that. She should have said, honey, you need to whack him. Okay? You know, he could have reached up there and, you know. I'm just amazed at her willingness to take the lead. And they haven't sinned yet. They're perfect. And Adam's willingness to go, fly, baby, be free. Have at it. It cost him. We know the end of the story. We'll look at the curses next week. I hope this is a help. And you look, I don't go through this to be controversial. I go through this because I think we should be able to describe this and teach this to our converts, to our children, to our families. And everybody should have a basic understanding, and we don't avoid things just because it's not politically and socially unacceptable. Because there's, watch, this year, by this time next year, if Jesus doesn't come, there's going to be more that's not acceptable. Things are, they're doing this to Christianity. They don't determine what we teach, and they don't determine what we believe. Amen? And if you believe right and you do right, God blesses you for your obedience. Okay? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness, your word. It's perfect. It's pure. Lord, when Ezekiel, when you fed him your word, he said it was sweet to his taste, but it was bitter in his bowels.